Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Silver and Black Pridecast. We're going to talk about Chargers game, as much as that might be unpleasant. And since, let's be honest, not a lot went right, we're pretty much going to focus on what went wrong. I'm here again with Tyler Smith, as per usual. So we'll start with you, Tyler. Give us just put out something you thought went wrong in this one for the Raiders.
One of the things that I thought went wrong the most was in the trenches. The Raiders just got beat up on the offensive and defensive lines. Having two rookie tackles in there, just it was a disaster. The Chargers were able to get pressure on Derek Carr whenever they wanted. And on the other side of the ball, on the defensive line, they weren't able to get in Rivers' face very often. They got one sack with Bruce Irvin in the first quarter. But after that, he was able to elude the pressure that they were providing for pretty much the rest of the game and was able to pick apart the blitzes. They didn't really work very well at all. Whenever the Raiders would blitz, he would just toss a screen pass right over the top. So the Chargers' offensive line had their way, and the Chargers' defensive line also had their way. When that happens, you're usually going to lose. So that's just the first thing that comes to mind when I think about what went wrong yesterday for the Raiders.
What's funny to me about that is that both teams have their issues on the offensive line. I mean, the Raiders, obviously, they were starting two rookie tackles and they were without Kelechi Osemele. And I mean, if you're in a situation where you have these rookies at the tackle spots, especially like, you know, Brandon Parker making his first start, Colt Miller he's got a leg issue he's dealing with. You absolutely need the guys next to them to be present. First of all, Osemele being their arguably their best offensive lineman, you need that guy next to you. And they just Miller didn't have Osemele next to him. I think it hurt him tremendously, so to speak. But the Chargers weren't in a much better situation. They had both of their starting tackles out. So the fact that despite both teams having similar problems on the offensive line, the Chargers were still able to dominate that area of the game is really, it's really pretty baffling. I guess you can look at the fact the Chargers do have Melvin Ingram and the Raiders, you know, they have Bruce Irvin, which he had his third sack, but again, it was the same situation as before. One sack in the first half and nothing in the second half. And that's not enough. And you expect if there was a game that they were going to break out of that, Arden Key was going to, you know, take the next step or whatever the case may be, this was the one. And it didn't happen for whatever reason.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of explosion out of the Raiders offense when they've had a healthy offensive line, particularly in the first quarter. And that just didn't materialize yesterday at all. They just looked completely out of sorts. The pressure was really getting to Derek Carr, and they just weren't able to execute their offense whatsoever. And I think a lot of that had to do with the loss of Osemele and the two rookie tackles. They just didn't have it together on the offensive line, and everything sort of flowed from that.
As it often does. Well, I'll move on to the next. What I think was one of their top problems is giving up explosive plays. They are actually the worst in the NFL at giving up explosive plays on defense. And we saw it last week against the Browns, how they had like the 63-yard run and a 59-yard pass and a 49-yard run. It was just like big play after big play. And in that one, it was, of course, a shootout, and they were able to miraculously come back at the end and win 45-42. And this one, they only put up 3 points when it mattered. And all it took was a couple of big explosive plays and they were done for. And both of those plays were little dump offs. Well, one was a dump off. One was a screen pass. And both of them just, Austin Ekeler just ran right through the Raiders defense. He made basically one move. He took the ball. He was going left. Tahir Whitehead and Darryl Worley were coming to try to make the play. He made one move to a jump cut right, and he was gone. And that should never happen. And yet it does consistently, time and time again. These little things that should be stopped for less than 10 yards or whatever at the line for that matter, just blow up and become these big plays. Once the first line of defense is gone, there's nothing left. And that screen pass to Melvin Gordon was basically a situation where they caught the Raiders in the perfect situation. The Raiders blitzed. They threw the screen pass over with the blitz breaker, the screen pass. The Chargers set it up perfectly. Melvin Ingram had three blockers escorting him to the end zone. The only thing that stopped him was tripping over one of their feet, which, you know, three plays later, they were in the end zone anyway. He got 10 more yards on that and picked up got the touchdown anyway. And that was it. The game was over at that point once they gave up those two big plays. And it's funny because when you see it happen and then you hear the players talk, they always say, oh, we're this close, just one more. It's like, well, yeah, of course you're that close, but you're that close on a play on that play and you didn't make the play. And then it's going to happen again and it's going to happen again. You're not really one play away from stopping this. You're basically just like every now and then you actually do stop it, but not enough to actually make a difference.
Yeah, there's a few reasons I think that big plays have been happening overall. The Raiders have an overall lack of speed, and that comes from having an old team. As we've discussed before on the podcast, the Raiders just don't have the speed to keep up with a lot of other teams. They also are very poor tacklers. As we saw last week against the Browns, Nick Chubb got free for two huge runs, which he frankly, neither of those he should have gotten past 3 yards past the line of scrimmage. He should have been stopped. But the Raiders are such poor tacklers that they simply let him go. And we saw that yesterday. They should have had both of those screen passes dead to rights with, you know, before the first down. But the bad play calling, and I'm not sure if it's bad play calling by the Raiders or just outstanding play calling by the Chargers, but it seemed to me watching the game yesterday that any time the Raiders had a blitz called, an overload blitz from one side or the other, the Chargers had a screen pass called to go right over the top of it. And when you blitz three or four guys from one side of the field and you have a screen pass that goes over the top of that, there's simply no one else in the back to take care of it.
And that could be playing calling, but it could also be just as equally the problem of the players not disguising it. I mean, because you can call a blitz, but if you don't disguise it, if Philip Rivers, who's quite smart, quite adept, if he smells it and he changes the play, then you're done for. You got to disguise that stuff.
Yeah, Philip Rivers is one of the smarter and more cerebral quarterbacks in the NFL, and they weren't fooling him at all yesterday. He was taking care of business out there. He knew exactly what the Raiders were going to do, and he knew exactly what he needed to do to overcome it, and he absolutely did.
All right, well, you got any more? And another what went wrong for this?
Just the lack of giving Marshawn Lynch his chance inside the 1 yard line. I mean, if you have him, why not use him? But they try to get cute again, and Derek Carr threw a red zone interception again in the end zone. If you can't take an easy 7 points, then you deserve to lose. And that's exactly what happened to the Raiders yesterday. I mean, maybe he didn't expect Melvin Ingram to drop back into coverage, but for God's sake, if the man isn't rushing, what do you think he's doing?
You kind of say they had a couple of shots to get him the ball in the red zone, but really there's that one time where you're thinking, well, they're first and goal at the 1 yard line. Even if you feed it to Marshawn and they read it, okay, well, we didn't get it on first down. Let's, you know, we have a couple more downs. So I think overall just a goal line offense in general. I mean, they got down there twice. They got as close as the five. They were first and goal at the five. And again, you know, we didn't see the one play they lined up. Lined up Derek Carr in the shotgun, Jalen Richard next to him. No Marshawn Lynch in the game at all. I mean, they're basically telegraphing that they're going to be throwing the ball, and they just don't have their short yardage back, which you consider Marshawn Lynch to be a short yard. He's a more than just a short yardage back, but if you need 1 yard, he's going to get it for you in most cases. And they come out there and he throws into triple coverage to Jared Cook. And then they get the false start and they back it up. And then he throws a little dump pass to Jalen Richard that's tackled for a loss. And they end up kicking a field goal. And it's like, what was that? They didn't run the ball once. I mean, the false start doesn't help, but you can't. A false start shouldn't be like, well, we're done for. We got a false start. And you shouldn't be in that. You shouldn't be put in that position in the first place. You should be running the ball in short yardage in the goal line. And And they have a couple of times, but usually, you know, like it would be, you know, when they gave it to Keith Smith in the goal line, and they're just not giving it to Marchand, and he's understandably frustrated. And basically, along with the goal line offense not functioning the way it basically kind of bleeds into what I think is another key to this, and that we've seen play out in other games, is Derek Carr, you know, just pushing too hard. He's pushing it in that play. And Gruden rightfully, you know, when he defended his play call to throw the ball instead of running it, I think he's wrong for not running it, obviously, but he's right in the fact that he said, well, we called for the pass on the first down, and had it been thrown away instead of thrown into the arms of the defender, they'd have had a couple more downs that they could have run it after that. Who's to say they actually would have run it, but he claims that had that been incomplete, then maybe they would have gone to Marchand after that. But if you watch the play, you know, Derek Carr, he's rolling kind of left, and he's running backward off his back foot and just lofts that thing right into his arms. Like, what is that? What are you – you just can't help but wonder what he's trying to accomplish with that. And getting whatever it was, he's far from accomplishing.
I was wondering that myself watching the game, what exactly Derek Carr was trying to accomplish in some of these situations with his decision-making. And I think if the Raiders score a touchdown in either one of the situations, the first one where they got a field goal or the second one where Carr threw an interception to Melvin Ingram, if they score a touchdown in both or either one of those situations, this is a vastly different game. Raiders are in it. But after that interception in the end zone, they were completely out of it. Now, the Raiders killed themselves with pre-snap penalties all day long. Most of that was due to the rookie tackles and the poor offensive line play in general. But they were behind the eight ball the entire game because of mistakes. And pre-snap mistakes, just, you know, coaching errors, people not paying attention.
Yeah, this team is just kind of like, to say it's imbalanced doesn't cover it, because there are some weeks it feels like, okay, this worked really well. And if you think of it like a scale, like two scales, you're like, things really worked on this side, but the other place gave it away. This was actually the first game that I can look at and say that there wasn't nothing worked. That was the first game they weren't leading. They were no, it's not that they weren't leading last week, but this was the first game that they didn't ever hold a lead at any point. They were tied at three, and that's as good as it got. In this game, it was basically they got that field goal earlier, and it just was kind of it was like, wow, you should have had a touchdown on that and you didn't. And it was kind of a symbol of everything else, and everything just fell apart from there. And it was a time when they needed it the most. It's a time when they're down 1-3. You get the win, you're within one win of 500. You get the win, you win in the division. You get the win, you beat a team that's beatable, but is actually a good team, instead of, you know, losing to really good teams and then using that as kind of like some type of excuse or motivation, some moral victory thing. Hey, we lost, but they kept saying over and over again, hey, we lost, but look at the defenses we played. We look at what we were up against. We did some good things despite the fact that we lost, because we were facing such a great team. Well, the Chargers are a great team, but they're not unbeatable. They're quite beatable. They were 500 coming in, and they dropped it. It was just too big of a win to drop at all, let alone like this.
Yeah, this is a team that should be progressing and getting better as the year goes along. They brought back Daryl Worley from suspension, and he added a lot to the cornerback core. And I think as the team gets more comfortable with the schemes on offense and defense, they should improve. But they're not. This is worse than any of the other weeks that we've seen so far. This is the first week where they had their absolute asses kicked from start to finish. And they've been in contention with every other game that they've played except for this one. And you wonder why the team is getting worse. I don't really have any answers for that, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really does, because I said in a piece that I just posted from last night that they were at a crossroads last week. And what you expected, I mean, you think of a crossroads being either we go one way, which is we take the momentum we gained from the late heroics to come back and win, you know, was reminiscent of 2016, and you take that and you continue that upward trend, you use that as your like your motivation or your proof that you've been talking about, all these things that were so close to, you know, one explosive play away from, or stopping an explosive play away from doing great things, and you put it on the field and you think that's going to propel us forward. So that's one path. And you think there's really only one, there's one other path. The other path is to drop back to what you were doing before, which is showing flashes and just not quite getting it done, collapsing late or whatever. You don't expect, there's this other road that kind of forms out of thin air. And that is to just be, just come out completely flat and completely incompetent and show what you hadn't shown this year, which is nothing. You've shown nothing. You've shown that you can still, you're still going to turn the ball over. You're still going to give up explosive plays. You're still not going to have any pass rush. You're still not going to be able to stop the other team from having pass rush. You're still going to struggle in the red zone. And the last thing that I think they did that they're still having issues with in this game was clock management. They had this time they had a minute 38 at the end of the first half. But again, they come to the line without any timeouts, because previous times, in most cases, Derek Carr will get up to the line. He'll look at the defense, he'll see something he doesn't like, and he'll call a timeout. And it usually happens in the red zone. They're right there. They're ready to score. And, oh, no, we have to stop. Something doesn't look right. We have to call a timeout. And those timeouts are precious. You get to that last – you can't get into your two-minute drive properly without any timeouts, because the defense is, oh, they don't have any timeouts. We just protect the boundaries. We protect the deep, make them throw the short passes in the middle, drain the clock down, and there you go. And a couple weeks ago, when they had 52 seconds, they took the punt at the 10-yard line. They figured, we only have 52 seconds left. We're at our own 10-yard line. We have no timeouts. And they kneel it out. In that case, they didn't even try. They didn't even try to do anything. And yet you look at the other side with the Chargers, they get the ball in their own territory. Granted, it's near midfield, 47-yard line, but they have 6 seconds left. You think it was 6 seconds up 17-3. They'd be like, we'll just kneel it out. We'll kneel it out. We'll come back in the second half and we'll go from there. No. They come out and they try to move the ball, and they do. And what happens? Good things happen. They get 8 yards on a completion. He drops so that they can call the timeout. Then they come out and throw a Hail Mary. They miss the Hail Mary. Bruce Irvin called for roughing the passer, 15 yards, moved them in field goal range for a 47-yard field goal that Caleb Sturgis should have made but didn't. But the fact that he didn't is inconsequential to this argument. We see the other team or other teams saying, time is precious. I'm going to take advantage of it and take every opportunity I can to score. And what do the Raiders do? They kneel it, or they come out and they throw the little short pass. They don't even take a shot at the boundary. And you bring your undrafted rookie kicker out there to try a 57-yard field goal. That's not how you win a game. That's not how you are competitive at all.
The only thing that occurs to me as far as why the Raiders were so awful yesterday was kind of what I said before with the offensive line being in shambles, which it was. But the lack of Kelechi Osemele and the lack of Donald Penn does not make you tackle poorly on defense. It does not make Martavis Bryant fumble the football when he had a nice game. It certainly doesn't make Derek Carr throw an interception in the back of the end zone for no reason. And it most certainly does not make you have poor clock management skills. So there's one thing that you can point to that has, you know, an abject reason. But there's so many more things that are just beyond comprehension as far as what the Raiders think they're doing.
Well, if there's any kind of solace that Raider fans might want to take at this point, is that they have some winnable games. That word winnable takes less and less meaning with every game that the Raiders look like this. But they face a few 3-1-4 teams over the next next 5 games. But this coming week, of course, they're heading to London to face the Seahawks, which for a while there looked like, wow, the Seahawks look like it could be pretty bad, that this Raiders might have a really good shot. But they're 2-3 right now, and they're coming off facing the Rams, same opponent as the Raiders faced in the opener, the same opponent that the Raiders couldn't score on in the second half, who got They got ran out of the building in the second half. And the Seahawks, not only were they tied at halftime at 17, but they scored two touchdowns in the third quarter and only lost by 2 points against one of, if not the best team in football. So the Seahawks aren't the powder puff team that, at some points this season you might have thought they would be. And, you know, facing them in a completely different time zone is not going to help things for the Raiders either. So it's I don't know what to expect the next week, but it's hard to be positive about it too much.
Yeah, the CX are going to be a big challenge over in London, and those games always get weird. You know, playing across the pond like that, and the Colts are going to be a challenge the week after that. So the Raiders may have winnable on paper games coming up, but reality will hit them in the face if they don't fix these problems.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the Colts because they did the same. They did the same thing this weekend. I mean, they scored 21 points on the Patriots in the second half, and they, you know, whenever you have a great quarterback, I guess you could argue whether Andrew Luck is great or not, but he's good enough to win games. He's good enough to put the team on his back and win games. And thus far this season, we've only seen Derek Carr kind of do that one time. Of course, last week against the Browns, being able to, he came back late. So the Raiders have a lot to prove. We don't want to get too much into the future schedule because there's certainly time for that. Hopefully this one didn't depress anybody too much. Think of it as catharsis. No, you got to get it out. You got to talk about it. The Raiders are, of course, doing the same thing and fixing some of the issues so that at least they'll have the imbalance thing going back again for them instead of just completely nothing working. So, all right, well, we'll call it for this episode of the Silver and Black Pridecast. Hope you join us next time. Bye, everybody.
Hello, you're listening to Simone de Rochefort, one of the hosts of The Polygon Show. It's a show all about the video games that you'll never have time to play, brought to you by four friends who are just as passionate about food, soft drinks, and TV shows as we are about video games. Every Friday, we bring you a new hour of personal stories, like how we found the best way to play Yakuza 0, or even what happens when you play so much Zelda that you hurt your hands and can't play games anymore. Above all, we just have a really good time talking about the games that we love. Check out the show on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcatcher. You can also find us at Polygon Show on Twitter and send a tweet to say hi. Thanks for listening.